This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. While we've been trying to keep up with a dizzying array of threats to public safety, security, and sanity under Donald Trump, the new leadership of the Federal Communications Commission has gotten much less scrutiny, but the story is quite crucial. Newly appointed FCC chairperson Ajit Pai was one of the Republican commissioners to the five-person panel under President Obama, and he has now replaced Tom Wheeler. Like most Trump folks, Pai is a pro-business Washington insider who was once a legal counsel to Verizon. He has made unilateral decisions in just the last few weeks that indicate he intends to eviscerate the hard-fought preservation of net neutrality under President Obama. FCC chairs are appointed by presidents and do not need Senate confirmations. My guest is Timothy Carr. He's Senior Director of Strategy at Free Press and Free Press Action Fund. Welcome to the program, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So first, just to get it out there before we dig into what's at threat here, define net neutrality. It sounds like a little bit of an obscure term, but it's very important, especially to the kinds of communication tools that we, everyday people, the resistance against Trump is relying on, right?
Sure. Well, net neutrality, yes, it does sound a little arcane, but it's actually quite a simple concept. Anyone who goes online on the internet is familiar with this, the idea that you get to determine your own media experience. You get to choose the websites that you go to, the type of music that you might want to listen to, the type of videos that you might like to watch. That power of control over media is what's very inherent to the internet. It puts the power of choice in the hands of internet users. And the principle that protects your ability to go wherever you want online is called net neutrality. And we recently, in 2015, won a decision at the Federal Communications Commission to protect net neutrality under the law. So that was a major victory for internet users, not only in the United States, but around the world.
And this was a hard-won victory under a liberal Democrat, whose appointment of Tom Wheeler was problematic. Tom Wheeler had a lot of his own issues, and in fact, we had interviewed folks from Free Press about the way in which Tom Wheeler had attempted to undermine net neutrality. Now we have this man, Ajit Pai. Tell us who he is. I mentioned he was once legal counsel for Verizon. He's basically somebody who represents the very industry that the FCC is supposed to regulate, right?
Yeah, and it's an interesting story because Tom Wheeler, who was Ajit Pai's predecessor at the FCC, was himself a lobbyist for the wireless and cable industry. But after a lot of public pressure and a lot of convincing, he turned out to be a really good chairman. He protected net neutrality, protected user privacy, did a lot of interesting things that we were a little bit surprised by given his history.
So he was pushed into doing it, which is really good. I mean, it speaks to the work group and many people did.
It took 4 million people to contact the FCC. So we have in Ajit Pai, someone with somewhat similar pedigree, worked for the industry. However, he's also been commissioner for a number of years. He was just elevated from commissioner to chairman. And so we have a track record of how he would decide on key issues. He was opposed to the net neutrality decision when it came before the agency in 2015. He has basically sided with the industry, with big phone and cable companies, on almost every issue that's come before the FCC. So it's been decisions that favor these big companies, much to the detriment of average consumers, internet users, people who use the media in all sorts of ways.
And now let's also get into the mechanics of how the FCC works. This is a five-person commission. Generally, you have three out of the five representing the executive branch's party, and then two that are the minority party, if you will, right? Is that accurate?
That's right. It's five people. The majority is with the executive branch majority party. At the moment, we're missing two seats, so there are only three. We have two Republicans and one Democrat, so we're expecting to see some new names thrown into the mix to get us to five. But it will, under the Trump administration, it will remain a Republican majority at the
right.
FCC.
And so these are commissioners that are supposed to vote on any, you know, issues that come up. But in the last few weeks, Ajit Pai, the new FCC commissioner, before his commission has even been fully populated, has not just put forward a number of issues, but actually declared them by fiat. And some have compared what he has done to issuing his own version of executive orders. Tell us, before we get into what he did, if the process by which he did them is even done, legal, accepted, precedented?
Well, it has yet to be challenged, although I would say it's not very democratic. And what he did was, on Friday afternoon, he released a number of items that basically unwound or rolled back a lot of the consumer benefits that Chairman Wheeler, his predecessor, put in place. Especially around the issue of Lifeline programs. Lifeline is a program that helps low-income families get on the internet, and so he took a Lifeline designation away from 9 small internet service providers that were providing these services to kids in inner cities and in schools, and potentially thousands of children in particular will now lose this benefit as a result of this decision. But it wasn't the only decision he made. He made a number of other decisions, and these were not released through consultation with other commissioners. He advised what are called bureau chiefs within the agency to just release these decisions without any sort of due process. So not only are we concerned about the process itself, which was very undemocratic, and that comparison to the way Trump has released so many executive orders, I think is very apt, but we're also concerned about the content of the decisions. The decisions rolled back benefits to get more people online, especially low-income families. He decided to stop an inquiry about possible net neutrality violations using a practice that's called zero rating, which we have some concerns about because it allows, in this case, wireless internet service providers to prioritize certain websites over others. So there was a lot in there that we were concerned about, but also obviously concerned about the way in which these decisions were leveled.
Now, Ajit Pai wrote an article and published it on Medium.com on February 7th, entitled Setting the Record Straight on the Digital Divide. He's quite outspoken. In the very first paragraph, he basically says, one of my top priorities would be to close the digital divide, the gap between those who use cutting-edge communication services and those who do not. Now that I'm at the helm of the agency, I'm determined to address it. How exactly does he address the digital divide by doing what you just said he did?
Well, that's the hypocrisy, and that's the concern.
I mean, glaring hypocrisy. Why would he even publish this and declare it right at the very front of this article at the same time that he undermined the closing of the digital divide?
Yeah, this is, I think, what you would call a head fake. He has made a gesture towards solving this problem, but then wound back policies that would help solve the digital divide. He has his own version of how you do that. In his version, you solve the digital divide by giving massive tax breaks to the handful of very large internet service providers. These are companies like AT&T and Comcast and Verizon. You give them massive tax breaks for doing what they already have said they plan to do, which is to expand their network. So really, it's just another form of corporate welfare, and whether or not, you know, these tax breaks in any way incentivize these very large phone and cable companies from providing low-cost services to low-income families remains an open question. We remain very skeptical.
I mean, this is the standard pro-business approach to claiming to help the little guy instead of actually directly helping the little guy. It takes a circuitous route to helping the big guy and basically hope that they will help the little guy, which usually doesn't happen unless they're pushed to do so. And it's often just a cover for corporate, as you said, corporate welfare. So specifically, specifically on the issue of net neutrality. Does it seem clear to you that Mr. Ajit Pai does not respect the concept and that he's going to simply undo the net neutrality agreement under Obama?
Well, this is another head fake from the chairman. He likes to say that he does respect the concept of net neutrality, that he does like the idea of an open internet. However, he objects to any rules that would make it so. So it's sort of like saying, yes, I like clean air, but I reject the role of the EPA in fining industries that pollute. He's taken the same approach to net neutrality and phone and cable companies. He says that I like the open internet, but the rules that we have put in place are wrong. And if I have any chance I will unwind those rules. Now, the good news for net neutrality supporters is that we won a decision in 2015. The phone and cable company and their lawyers then took that decision to the courts. They took it to the federal appeals court in Washington, D.C., and we actually won in the court. So net neutrality rules, the open internet rules, are actually built on a very strong legal foundation. They are built on the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The language is very clear there with this long public proceeding where 4 million people made comments at the FCC and they decided in favor of net neutrality is a very strong precedent. And it's also been challenged in the courts, and we've won in the courts. So this is not a middle of the night, you know, acting by fiat. We're not going to see this new chairman easily unwind net neutrality. A more likely scenario is that they'll go to the Republican-controlled Congress and try to introduce new legislation that takes away the legal foundation on which net neutrality is built. So that's a very real threat, and that's something that we at Free Press and our allies who've been involved in this are organizing in expectation of. So that's something we need to remain vigilant on.
Could the new FCC chair also basically decline to review possible violations of net neutrality? You mentioned that Mr. Pai has already started doing that, essentially giving a green light to big companies like Verizon to, you know, do it on the sly and get away with it till they're caught?
He could very easily do that. In fact, one of the decisions that he made last week was in regard to a proceeding that had some net neutrality components of it. And there was an inquiry that his predecessor, again, Chairman Wheeler, had put in place that Ajit Pai decided to cancel the inquiry. So there is the possibility that we'll just see inaction at the FCC. But should we have egregious violations of net neutrality, which is a very likely scenario given the current political climate, should those violations take place, we will be able to put a lot of political pressure on Washington to look at these. Again, net neutrality, although it sounds somewhat arcane, is an issue that millions of people have taken action on. There is a very strong and diverse base of net neutrality supporters out there. Even we have public polling that shows that even Republican, registered Republican voters support the concept of net neutrality. So we'll have the ability to do some grassroots organizing to pressure this chairman and to pressure Congress to do the right thing.
I mean, certainly a lot of Trump supporters would support net neutrality. How else would they rely on getting their fake news stories out to the general public, right, if they don't have the internet freedom to do so?
You could make that argument. I don't expect that's going to be an argument that we'll be making. I think more important to us is that we preserve net neutrality so that independent voices out there, including a lot of organizations that use the internet to organize, who may be organizing many of the movement protests against the Trump administration. A lot of the success of some of the protests we've seen since January 20th were built on an open internet. So, you know, we need an open internet so people can do that sort of organizing so their dissenting voices can be heard. And we aren't giving control over speech to this, again, handful of small phone and a handful of very large phone and cable companies.
And we need an open internet here at Rising Up to get our program out there and have it be accessible to the general public in an equal, you know, on a level playing field as much as is possible. Compared to the big media companies. Absolutely, Tim. This is an issue that impacts. It's an issue of essentially even the First Amendment and the ability of people to use the internet freely without worrying about things like throttling by these companies, internet service providers, and others. So how do we, you know, the mobilization that won the FCC ruling and the net neutrality rules was a huge, huge one, despite the fact that the term net neutrality is a bit arcane and technical. Do you think that we could repeat that if need be, that the public would be just as angry and anxious, even while they're battling all these other things that Trump is doing, that net neutrality will still get its due?
Well, I mean, I see the threat coming in Congress, and any grassroots organizer will tell you that killing a bill in Congress is something that's fairly easy to organize around. Now, killing the bill itself may be difficult, but when you have a vehicle in Congress that would be as bad as something, you know, that proposes to kill net neutrality, we have the opportunity to organize even more people. Now, remember, there were 4 million people who took action when the FCC proceeding was in place, and that was a much more complicated and arcane process. But when you have a bill in Congress that has a very lengthy process of review, there are many opportunities for people to engage. And we'll be doing that at freepress.net and via our coalition site, which is savetheinternet.com.
And that is freepress.net and savetheinternet.com. We'll put both those websites on our site later today so people can find links to it. Tim, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Timothy Carr. He is Senior Director of Strategy at Free Press and Free Press Action Fund. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.